the first time I ever spoke, I was about 19 years ago, so there's been quite a few times over the years, and this is the first time this has ever happened. I was looking through for a hymn at the end, and the one that I first picked, and I found another one, I thought maybe I'll go to that, and the one that I originally picked was 26, which Marcus gave out, and then Marcus got up and read Luke 14. So I'm not one that's going to switch gears. This has been on my mind off and on for a number of weeks, just enjoying little things through it. And so I'm not going to switch gears. You're going to listen to Luke 14 for an hour, for the whole meeting. I'm not going to be up here for an hour. But we're going to just go over a few things. Mark is focused on the excuses, and we're just going to take a look at this story again and maybe just pick at a few other things that we've enjoyed. So Luke 14 and verse number 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I should also say as well, Marcus did ask me if I wanted to open. So the next time he asks me that, I'm going to pick to open, I think. So just a few thoughts from this story. I'm kind of maybe ashamed to say the first couple of verses, I noticed something just, it was either yesterday thinking about it or this morning, something that I had never actually noticed before. And there really are two groups of people in this story. The first ones that were invited at the beginning, and then when they didn't come, they didn't show up, and all their excuses, then the invitation went out to others. And I'm sure this is not new to you, but it was new to me. I always had in my mind that the supper was made, and then the invitation went out, and the people came in. That's actually not what happened. When you read the story, you read the first couple of verses, it says that the invitation went out. And so there's a period of time where those people, they sat and they waited. And what were they waiting for? They were waiting for the announcement to come out. Everything is ready. Now you can come in. Okay, so that first group of people, they had the invitation, a period of time passed. I don't know how long it was, but they were waiting for something. And you know well what that would picture? The Jews, right? They're waiting. There was an announcement made that a child was going to be born, a son was going to be given. They were waiting for that one to come. And they waited for, it was quite a long time. And they were looking forward. They had to have faith in what they heard was going to actually take place. The second group of people that actually came in, the invitation went out to after it was first rejected. The work was already completed. It was all done. And now somebody else is waiting, but it's not the people. God is waiting. The first group of people, they were the ones that were waiting, acting by faith. The second group of people, now this man, he was waiting for them to come in. And now tonight we can say that God is waiting. You know, I think everyone here is probably somewhat familiar with the gospel. You've heard it before. You know all about the story, some more details than others. But you know that there's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven who has provided a sacrifice, who has provided a great supper. It's a provision. And now the invitation has gone out. And he has told us very clear and plain through his word that everything is done, everything is ready. Come. And he's waiting for people to respond. just to look at this story, there are some pleasant thoughts, there are some not so pleasant thoughts, but we're going to come down through the story and try and share some of them with you. It's very obvious from the story that there was a tremendous cost went into this, in providing this meal. A lot of preparation went into it. This man was clearly a rich man. But do you know something? I couldn't help but think, whenever this invitation went out, particularly maybe the second group of people, there must have been some confusion, I would think. As they listened to the servant go about through the streets and tell them that this man, who maybe to them seemed distant, they had no connection with him. Maybe some of them actually thought, this man, maybe he hates us, doesn't actually like us. And there would have been some kind of confusion as they heard the message going out. These people laying maybe on the side of the road, there were likely beggars, there were people that weren't fit physically to even hardly look at. And the servant comes right to them and says, yeah, you come in. The man up on the hill there in that home, he's provided a great supper and he wants you to come. Probably some confusion, as they thought, this man would never want me in his home. Must be for the other person. The servant would say, no, it's for you. Come in. Come, it's all ready. You know, whenever we think about the gospel message and the invitation that has gone out, I'm not going to say to people, it's gone out to sinners. It's gone out to individuals who are full of sin. But we don't always have an accurate picture of ourselves, do we? When we look into the Bible, we can see what the accurate picture is, and that's that we are absolutely full of sin, right from the top of the head to the sole of the foot. Absolutely full of sin. It's something that God can't look at. It's something that God can't accept. God hates sin. And so in some sense, whenever we look at the gospel message and you look at the verse in John chapter 3 and 16 and you read about that invitation and what has taken place, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To a person thinking naturally, that it's kind of confusing. If you have an accurate picture of yourself, how could a God who is perfect, who hates sin, ever send out an invitation like that to people who are full of sin, polar opposites? Yet God records in his word, and it's complete truth, he wants you with him in his home, enjoying the provision that he has made at Calvary. You don't need to hang on to your sin. You don't need to be weighted down and burdened down with your sin. The Lord Jesus, when he went to Calvary, he paid for sin in full. It did cost God a great amount. You know something tonight? It goes out to every single individual. So we begin to think about the awful individuals in this world. There are a lot of them. And the wicked hearts, every single one, me included, everyone in this room, wicked hearts. And yet we have personally received an invitation from God, just like these people did. Come. It would be certainly understandable and acceptable if we read in God's word that he hates the sinner. Perfectly reasonable. That's not what we read. We read that God loves the sinner. God loves every single person. God does hate sin, but he loves everyone. And the invitation goes out to everybody. Goes out to you tonight. The quality of what this man provided was probably second to none. Something that these people had never ever experienced before. This man probably went through and he likely inspected every single thing that was prepared, he likely inspected it personally. And you know when the invitation went out? Do you know when that call went out? It said, come. It went out whenever that man had scanned over the whole thing, up and down the tables, saw that everything had its place, probably tasted the food. I don't know whether he said this or not, but possibly after he scanned the whole thing, maybe he stood back and he looked at the servants and he said, I'm satisfied. The invitation can go out. Do you know something tonight? The reason why the invitation is going out to you through the gospel, through the word of God, why that invitation of come is going out is because God has seen everything that has taken place at Calvary. That is what his son has done. God has looked on it. Can we say this, that God has tasted it? God has enjoyed it. And God stands back, and this is what he says, I'm satisfied. Send the invitation out. Tonight, this invitation is not going to last forever. These people found that out. The invitation went out to them. They turned it down. And he moved on to someone else. I wonder tonight in the meeting, those here listening, I wonder as you reject and turn down the invitation one more time tonight, I wonder if the invitation is moving on to someone else. Someone else who with open arms will accept it. Did you think about that? As you turn it down, and maybe to you, it's something you've become so used to. You come to gospel meeting and you listen and you walk out the door and you do it over and over again and you don't believe that it's a very serious thing. This is maybe church to you and you're just doing your duty. But actually, whenever the gospel is presented and an invitation is sent out, you have a choice to make. See, this was a command that went out to the people. The man said, come. Disobedience was an option. Disobedience was an option. This man sent the invitation out, and the people had one of two things that they could do. They could either go, or they could just remain put. So tonight, disobedience is an option, but remember this, that as the invitation leaves you, it might leave you for the last time and move on to someone else who will accept it. As we come from this first section, verses 16 and 17, and we come into these excuses, I know it's something that always baffled me too. I have no doubt that as the time passed after the initial invitation went out, while they were waiting for him to say that everything was ready and to come, they probably had every intention of being there at that supper. Let me just ask you a question for those that are familiar with the gospel, who have heard it a number of times. Here's a very simple question for you, and I think I probably already know the answer, but I want you to think about it. What is your intention? Whenever it comes to the invitation that God has given, and God has said, come. God has said, salvation is provided. There's the forgiveness of sins. What's your intention? I think the answer probably rolling through your mind right now is that I fully intend to be saved. That's my intention. These people thought the same thing. Every intention to be at that supper. But as time passed by, there were things that happened. I had things that happened to me. I can go back to a series of gospel meetings when I was 18 years old. And if someone had asked me during those gospel meetings, I would say, I don't even remember how long it was into them, say 2-3 weeks. One night, if someone came up to me and said, "What is your intention?" I would have said, "I have every intention on getting saved in these meetings." And the next day seemed very legitimate. I was looking for a vehicle. I spotted a truck that I liked, and that completely took over my mind. So I had every intention on getting saved in those meetings. And over 3 years went by before I actually got saved, because something else came in. Tonight, you probably have the same idea. You have every intention of being saved. Just like these people, there was something that came in. The one man with the field. The one man with the oxen. Another man with wife. They all intended in being at the supper, and yet these things that, as Mark has mentioned, seem so foolish to us that they would give up on an opportunity to like this for things, some that they had never seen, some they had never tested. Another one where she would have been welcome along with them. I said this before not that long ago, but I'm going to say it again because it is true. You can actually see the man that bought the oxen. His response was, it seemed like he was a little bit softer. He said, I pray thee have me excused. It seemed like he kind of felt bad about turning down the invitation. And says, I pray thee have me excused. And the other man that bought the field, he said the same thing. I pray thee have me excused. I know firsthand the strength that personal relationships can have. A lot of others in here probably do the same. All I would say is be very, very careful. Because the pull that somebody else can have in your life can be very strong. And it can completely pull you away from where God would want you and what God would want for you. Because the last man, as the invitation went to him, again, he had every intention on going. And then this woman came along who he married. And he doesn't say, I pray thee have me excused. It doesn't seem like there's any real softness there. He just says, I can't come. So be careful. So these people had every intention. It did something to this man who sent out the invitation. And you know what we read about? It says that he was angry. He was angry. I don't believe that he was, I'm going to say it this way. He wasn't full of hatred. He was full of anger. The difference being is that this man didn't all of a sudden turn from wanting these people with him, inviting them into his home, providing all this for him, and it went from loving these people to now hating them. That's not what happened. But this man, as he saw their reaction, he looked upon all that he had done for them. Looked at the love in his own heart for them, and then saw the carelessness and the foolishness of these people. He became very angry, knowing full well what they were missing out on, knowing full well the disappointments that life was going to bring them as they went in for these other things, over and above what he had provided for them. And he was filled with anger. So this man didn't hate the people. He still loved them, but he was filled with anger at the response. Tonight we can say to you with confidence that God loves you. I had this conversation just a little while ago, just trying to explain the difference between love and hate, and that we can hate the things that people do, but we still love the person. That is the way with God. God loves the person, hates what they do, is angry with what they do. But tonight, the invitation is open. The offer is there. God has open arms tonight. There is coming a day whenever you are going out into eternity, when you're going to leave this world and you're going out to meet I hope this is not the case for you. But if you turn his invitation down, you are going out to meet an angry God. I'm going to point out the difference again in case you missed it. You are not going out to meet a God who hates you. God doesn't hate the sinner. But you are going out to meet a God who is angry. As you stand before him, and all the invitations that have been brought to you over the years are laid out. And maybe it's brought to you that on August the 11th, for a full hour actually, doesn't happen very often, but both speakers got up and read from Luke chapter 14. Maybe this will happen. As you stand before him, normally where it's two different passages read, similar content, same passage for the first half and the last half of the meeting. And that's brought before you. You remember that night? Whenever the invitation was focused on, and the word come was stressed. It was even sung in one of the hymns. And you pushed it away. And as you stand there, nothing to say, everything you hear is true. And God is angry. Do you know why God is angry? Because this sounds maybe a little funny, but do you know why God is angry? It's because he loves you. That's why God is angry. Because he actually loves you. He wants you with him in heaven. He wants you in his home enjoying what he's provided. And that is free, full salvation, forgiveness for sins. What God has asked you to do is just simply believe him, to trust him. And God is angry because he looks at sinners who continually turn him away, who continually turn the invitation down. And as you stand before him in a coming day, now when it's too late, and you understand just the full weight of what it is that you've done, you've turned his invitation away for the last time. And so this man, he goes out for the last time, or sends a servant out for the last time. Do you know the instruction he gives the servant? He says, compel them to come in. In other words, I want you to go out and I want you to plead with them. I want you to go out and I want you to beg them to come in. Why would a man ever do that? Well, we kind of touched some of them, but this man loved the people. I'm going to emphasize it again. God loves you. Regardless of what you hear out in the world, come back to the source of truth. God loves you. Number one reason for compelling these people to come in. Second reason that he would compel them to come in is because he knew the danger that they were in. He knew the disappointment they were setting themselves up for. Do you believe, you think about this for a moment, do you believe that it's possible that we're using time and eternity here, but that tomorrow morning, we'll put it that way, that tomorrow morning you could actually wake up in hell? Do you believe that sometime through the night you go to sleep and you don't wake up in the morning on this side of eternity? You find yourself in hell. Do you believe that? Because that is the reality for people every single day. Every single day people leave this world, never to come back again. And men and women have, and boys and girls have fallen for the delusion for thousands of years. You know what it is? It's very simple. It's just that's not going to be me. It's a delusion that I'm going to be around forever. And as you get a little bit older, I don't like to think of myself as really old, and I'm not, but maybe to little kids I am, 41. Something happened, and I spoke with Chris Becker, and he echoed it. He said, I'm exactly the same way, but in the last year or two, I've started thinking a lot more about death. Seems kind of morbid, maybe a little strange, but you do. You begin to become a lot more aware of it. And he mentioned, he said, you begin to see friends that you've grown up with, other ones that they become sick and they pass away, and you begin to realize that I'm not going to be around forever. To the teenagers and the younger people, that is a reality. Up to this point, you have probably fallen for the delusion that death is such a far-off thing. It's never going to happen to me. I'm going to be around forever. That's not the case. And this man understood the danger that these people were in, because after you leave this world, there's no opportunity to come back and have a do-over. And this man, he understood that there was a deadline, and so he goes out and he compels them, come in, because the offer is not always going to be here. Number two delusion that you have fallen for, particularly maybe as a Christian's child, you believe that the norm, the regular thing in life, is that I'm going to just keep coming to gospel meetings. The invitation is always going to be there. There's going to be a deadline. It's not always going to be there. And so this man compels them to come in. So where does that leave you tonight? Just to break it down very simply, God has provided something for you. What took place at Calvary when the Lord Jesus gave his life, it wasn't for sins of his own. It's for the sins of the world. It was for my sins. It was for your sins. After that took place, God viewed that. God was satisfied. He said, there's enough done in that sacrifice to cover the sins of the whole world. It's pleased me. And he said, send the invitation out. He said, come. And tonight the invitation is still there. And where that leaves you is this. You have a choice to make. Again, disobedience is an option. Remember, there are consequences that go along with that. Accept the invitation, and it's heaven. Reject the invitation, and it's hell. That's as simple and as plain as it gets. God has provided everything, and the invitation goes out. Come. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we would just give thanks for ever sending the invitation out. As we think of the story and we're becoming more aware of our own sin, and we would just thank thee for ever looking down and sending that invitation to us and all of our sin. We just thank thee that a God who is holy would ever want us with him. And so we just give thanks that we can share in this, we can share in the message of the gospel. And so we just pray that those that have listened tonight, we just pray that they would respond in a positive way to the message and accept it. We just give thanks now for the Lord Jesus, in his name. Amen.